In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As Jesus passed by, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." I want to focus on this interaction, the first portion, the interaction of the two blind men with Jesus there in a home in Capernaum. This interaction between the two blind men and Jesus demonstrates for us the shape of Christian prayer. Jesus passes by the blind men as they shout, "Son of David, have mercy on us," but he offers no immediate response. The two men, blind men, then just pursue Jesus, shouting the whole time, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Christ goes into a home in Capernaum, into a quiet and private place. This home may have even served as a sort of home base for Jesus' 3 years of active ministry. St. Gregory Palamas says that this dwelling place symbolizes heaven as it bears within it the inhabitant of heaven. And he even highlights that the word, the name of the city, the town, Capernaum, means a house of comfort and consolation. So the two men follow Jesus there into this private home that is symbolizing heaven. They follow Christ, not hearing an invitation exactly, nor yet seeing, for they're blind, but nonetheless they follow Christ where he walks, into a place away from the crowd, away from the shouts of others, to converse with God in the flesh. St. Nikolai Velimirovich, in his homily on this, says that Jesus did not turn around or go aside to them. Why not? Firstly, St. Nikolai says, to increase their thirst for God and their faith in him. Secondly, that many should hear the blind men's cries and themselves give thought to their hearts and examine their own faith. And thirdly, to show his own meekness and humility by shunning the glory of men in this way, that he should not heal these sufferers on the road in front of the crowds, but in a house before only a handful of witnesses. Nikolai says that the blind men proved and displayed their faith by following Christ even when he did not publicly acknowledge them. He says that within themselves, these two blind men, they entered into the house with this feeling or this thought, "This is the moment of our healing. It's now or never." And so they pursue Christ into this home, into this quiet place. And only then does Christ address them. He addresses them with a question. We could even call it a test of their faith. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they respond very simply and humbly and say, "Yes, Lord." Their pursuit of Jesus has reached a new stage, one that's more spiritual than bodily. They have climbed up another rung of the ladder, not simply seeking mercy from the Son of David, but of the divine Lord. When the men call Jesus Lord, they're stating their belief that he is more than just one of the inheritors of the house of David. But no, they're stating their belief that he, as God, can uniquely offer them salvation. We can call to mind the passage in the epistle according to the Romans, which itself is echoing the prophecy of Joel, when it says that the scriptures say, "Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." To return to St. Nikolai and his commentary on this, he says that the blind men's "Yes, Lord" is their confession of faith in Jesus as God, which is then confirmed. That is to say, that faith was already present in them, both in their heart and on their tongue, And now love must go out to meet their faith. Then the miracle will be born, St. Nikolai says. Here is love that never tarries, coming out to meet faith. As though, he says, a burning candle were placed next to a dead and cold one, and the dead and cold one bursts into life and into flame. Only with this faithful profession does Christ then touch their eyes and say, "Be it according to your faith." He stretched out his most pure hands and touched the darkness there, the closed windows, the rotting eyes of the blind, St. Nikolai says, and then their eyes were opened. The curtain was then drawn aside, and light flooded into the prison of their darkness, and it became a sun-drenched place. Jesus then ends this interaction in a very, very curious way. I chuckle because of the interaction is hard to understand. He says, "See that no one knows this." He heals them. He's allowed them to scream and to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on us," through a whole crowd. And then when they leave the home, he tells them, "See that no one knows it." But the evangelist Matthew quickly adds, "They went away and spread this fame throughout all of the district." He heals them in secret, but the public declaration of their healing is evident. The general thought of the Holy Fathers when they look at this is that these two men did not act in disobedience, but that their very healed bodies, the fact that they could see now when they could not before, spreads the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as they keep silent. This whole interaction, we can say, is an allegory for entering into deep prayer. Prayer, foundationally, is an interaction, a conversation with the person of Jesus Christ. The account of the two blind men displays the patience needed and the stages that we must pass through in our prayer life, that is, in our converse with the Almighty God. This is how we can see this interaction. The words that these two men cry out are the foundation of that beautiful prayer called the Jesus Prayer, or what sometimes is simply called the Prayer by the Fathers. That short, yet whole and complete prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me," by which we too can without fail say, so that we can pursue God at all times. By these words, we too can chase Christ right into the home of the heart. We too can have the same faith and warmth of heart that these blind men had, and we too can receive healing. So we too begin with the desire for healing and Jesus Christ's mercy, just like they did. This is the motivation. We could call it the engine of our spiritual growth, our desire for Christ's forgiveness and healing, to become healed and whole. If we don't seek healing for our souls, if you don't seek healing for your soul, there's no beginning in prayer. There's no way to start the engine of repentance and to seek that healing. But from this desire, we can seek it. We ask for the healing with our sighs and cries to Him, and we do so repeatedly. "Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner." When He appears, just like He appeared to those two blind men, our mind comes to attention. He may say nothing, but His divine presence is a joy, and we can chase after Him as He walks, even while we're still blind and not yet healed, still in great need of healing. Perhaps there is no immediate answer, but we are drawn toward Jesus because we know He alone can heal the soul. So we keep crying out, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me." And then you enter into the quiet place. a hidden place, into the home of the heavenly one. You enter into your own heart that is the home of Jesus. There, he speaks with us freely. The fathers speak of a Christian's heart as the center of our person, the center of our personhood, and as the throne and the dwelling place of God. They're one and the same thing. God dwells there at the center of who you are. In the heart is where the spiritual dialogue with God happens. And by that divine dialogue, our spiritual blindness, our hidden sins, and maybe even those that are unknown to ourselves right now are cured by being filled with his uncreated light. There he stretches out his hand and the spiritual blindness is healed. Our faith is made complete and we are made new as love stretches out and touches our own blindness to fill it with his light. In other words, in this way we are healed. So, my brothers and sisters, take up this beautiful prayer, a completion of the prayer of these two blind men as they shouted on the street. Start to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, and see what happens. I believe in time you will experience the same thing that the two blind men experienced. Set aside some time to get away from the obligations, the distractions, leave the darkness of the world, and chase after Christ and enter into your inner home. Some physically quiet place probably will help greatly, but enter into your heart. The place where Jesus has come to the Capernaum, the place of comfort and consolation of the home of your heart. Jesus is there in the heart for all of you baptized Christians. There's no question. There, enter and have that dialogue with him. Seeking his mercy, and then healing will come. Likely this won't happen all at once, for we are not just physically blind, but spiritually blind in ways that we don't even know. Christ will address them one by one and heal them. Just keep entering the home within. There, the darkness and blindness of sin will be forgiven, and healing will happen. As we cry out, spoken within that home, the prayer. There, converse with God in the home of the heart, love is met. And we begin to love it above all other things. By quiet, consistent prayer, our spiritual eyes are opened. By it, we know in a more intimate way what to repent of. And so are healed by the purifying faith. But also we come to what the fathers refer to as illumination. We begin to see things in God's light, not just our own guesses. Our blindness is healed. And we return to that last word of Christ to these two blind men after their healing. Go and tell no one. See that no one knows it. And yet the evangelist adds, everyone knew it. This stands as an emblem, a symbol of that last stage in our holy tradition that is called theosis, or union with God. For they were healed in a secret place. The evangelist knew, maybe because it was relayed to them, or there were one of the few that were in that home. But nonetheless, the crowd didn't know. They were healed in secret, and yet they were changed. This account of the two blind men teaching us about prayer stands in that place, the last stage, where we are healed and changed. They, by that very change, the fact that they were blind and then can now see, is the proclamation of God's glory. They didn't need to speak. The fathers generally understand, like I said, that they did keep their silence, but yet they were healed. The same occurs with us when we are spiritually healed. Anyone that knows us knows that we have become different. And even more so if they knew us when we were infirm and caught in our sins and passions. There's no need to display it, no need to advertise that. We simply have become different. We have become healed and changed. What is healed in secret is then manifest in the world. So, my brothers and sisters, we all have illnesses, sometimes of the body, and in every case, the soul. It is only in following Christ and crying out to him and chasing him into his dwelling place, like the two blind men did, that our illness of sin will be cured. This is the promise of our faith, that if we do this now and in total, then in total in the age to come, it will be given, will be made new, whole, lacking nothing, having no corruption, no illness, but it can begin even now by this pursuit of Christ with the prayer and following him. May we take up these similar words to these men, the very words of the Jesus prayer passed on through the ages in church tradition. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. By this too we cry out, follow, dialogue, proclaim, and receive Christ's illuminating touch upon the soul, just as these two blind men did in Capernaum, the home of our Lord and God, and within your own heart. Even in silence, simply by what we become through him, will then the glory of God be revealed to the world. Amen.